This is the Chew News Digest. I'm Tim Sutherland, and of course you can find all the stories I'm going to be talking about today on chewnewsdigest.com, where I post all my show prep stuff. It's been a couple weeks. I've been super busy, but in case this is your first time joining, this is the third show, and it's about food and fitness and nutrition and just whatever I would like to talk about, because of course I cook. You can see that stuff on the my at Timmy Chew Instagram page, my food and recipes and things like that, but I also keep in touch with the news, and slowly I've become more and more interested in what I see as food news and nutrition stories and things like that. The stuff that you would read if you were looking for something that's actually relevant to your life, as opposed to focusing on politics or what's happening in another country, which I completely don't care about right now. I guess that's what just where I'm at in my life and stuff, is that I'm more interested in my hobby of food and reading about it than I am reading about a presidential election, who's running, and what they did 15 years ago. Don't care. Not at all. Not my thing. Whereas cooking is, and food in general, is my entire life. So yeah, I've been really busy. So it's been a couple weeks. I believe this is episode 3. I think I said that. And I mean, I'm doing law all day long, and then I'm cooking at a gastropub at night and managing the staff there. And it's just, it's a lot of work. And I've been developing a concept where I'm going to be baking, for opening a bakehouse and, cooking all the baked goods. So as you can imagine, when you are going to start baking things, you have to come up with your recipes. So that means for the bread, I am literally trying out a bunch of recipes, tweaking them, changing the amount of yeast, changing the amount of rise, the way I fold the dough, the way I roll it out, the way I shape it, the temperature I cook it at, you know, everything changes depending on what I'm trying to manipulate and the result I'm trying to get. And what I see when I take it out of the oven, it's like, and then I have a crappy oven where I got to turn this thing every, you know, few minutes because you don't want it to brown and the heat is uneven in the oven. And at least I know that. Some people, I guess they never figure that out. And, you know, thank God my oven is true to temperature. That would have been another hassle. But I'm also making pies and I'm making cookies and brownies and all kinds of stuff like that. And it's just, man, that's a lot of cooking, and that is a lot of eating. It's a lot of testing, a lot of taste testing, which is fun, but it's not when it's summer. And right now, it is, what is it? It's about to be June already. And in years past, and I'm not trying to brag here, but it's true, in years past, I've been in amazing shape for the summers. The thing everybody wants to get to, I can get there because I have the discipline and I'm not going to be eating desserts and I'm going to focus a lot more on my carbs and manipulating them in my training. And I throw cardio in the mix in the summer and leading up to the summer, and I get to where I want to go. It's a fun thing. And then during the rest of the year, I sort of just focus on actually performing in the gym, you know, working on how much I'm lifting and for how many reps, as opposed to getting a specific look. It's like a switch flips and you stop going for a hobby of going in the gym, and you're actually working towards a goal of losing body fat and sculpting this or that. It's can't do it year round because it wears me out, and I hate looking at myself like that and saying, oh, you need more, you know, left pec, and you need this bicep doesn't have any veins in it for some reason. And like, it's very nitpicky. And I used to work with a nutritionist, and he did a really good job of doing that stuff for me. And also giving encouragement, you know, if things were coming along or if things were lagging, yeah, we just make little adjustments to my diet, moving carbs around, or focusing on even me eating more carbs and boosting them if I was losing body fat too fast based on the workouts I was doing. It was really interesting, but it's, you know, it's one thing. I don't know if you've ever had anyone do this to you, but literally to have someone pinching your fat and saying, hey, I don't know why this hadn't changed in the last week. Like, what have you been doing? How were your workouts? What did you eat? You know, did you drink alcohol? Did you have dessert that we didn't have in the plan? And it's just a fascinating thing. I recommend it if you can find someone that you trust and respect with their ideas. Of course, when I did that, I was still doing all my, and I still do the Instagram photography and everything, but I was focused more on making ridiculous foods and that were, you know, very colorful and not necessarily healthy. And then I started working with this guy and I was eating 28 eggs, 20 of them were egg whites, 8 were real, or full eggs rather. And I was eating vegetables with every single meal, including breakfast. And a lot of times it was just broccoli, seriously, broccoli or spinach. And then I was eating chicken 4 times a day, which I don't even like chicken unless it's fried. Otherwise, it's just boring to me. There's just so many other meats out there that chicken is my least favorite. But I was just slamming chicken after chicken and all breast also. So it's like, if you haven't made your way to the chicken thigh, I don't know what to tell you. It's a lot better, taste-wise at least, if you're going to be grilling something. But yeah, so we were focused, because we were always minimizing my fat that I was consuming in my diet at least. We wanted the sources to be from fish or actually not even from nut butter, basically only omega-3s and coconut oil. So yeah, so long tangent there. But bottom line is, recently I've been really busy. And I've been eating a lot of baked stuff. I'm not like real out of shape or anything like that, but I'm not where I need to be. I'm okay with where I'm at because I'm doing something. You know, ideally, if you're going to start baking things, you should start doing that crap in the winter. That way it'll keep you warm like a bear. And nobody's going to see you running around with your shirt off. But that's not what has happened for me this time around, and that's just the way it goes. The first story I want to get to is this whole dad bod thing that's going on. And the internet has just been on fire this month. And I've got an article from the New York Times where they're saying that they are quantifying the dad bod. So they're looking at what is an actual dad bod. What is the difference between a man when he has children versus a man when he is just a single guy running around enjoying his life still? Not to say the children are unenjoyable. I don't have any. I have a dog, and I can tell you that sometimes she's not that enjoyable. I feel like she was put on this earth to check me so that I understand that I'm in for a trip when I have some kids someday. So, okay, let me start out with this, the whole dad bod thing, because I know some of my listeners probably aren't on the internet reading this, and you probably don't have the idiot friends I have on Facebook that share this kind of stuff, because if there's an idiot that's going to share something that is completely irrelevant to your life, I've got them. They're in my group of friends. I met them either in high school or in college through my fraternity or otherwise, and I mean, God, some of the stuff that gets posted on there is really, really dumb. And sadly, I read just about all of it. That's the way my mornings go. I'll be like laying in bed for like an hour when I'm tired. If I wake up, let's say I go to bed at like 2 or 3 and then I'm up at 6 or 7, I'm not getting up. I'm gonna be awake, so the alarm clock is shut off. But I convince myself that I'm doing things and getting stuff done when I'm like checking my email, I'm responding, I'm sending some texts, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm reading stupid stories like girls love the dad bod. Oh, okay. So I'll tell you what it is. So it's a body type. You know, I told you the goal that most people have, which is to get ripped up and to be in shape. So everyone looks at you and they're saying, wow, he's in really good shape. He must work really hard. What discipline you have, my friend. Well, this is a different body style. And to me, it is one where you still have to work out semi-regularly, maybe a few times a week. 2 times a week probably would be enough to get this dad bod thing. But then you also eat a decent diet, because you're not completely letting yourself go, but you also eat normal people food like pizzas and desserts and things like that. And you also drink beer, so you still partake in alcohol. You're not super strict. This is opposed to, in order to get really ripped, you're not eating pizza, you're not eating desserts, and you're definitely not drinking. So all 3 of those things are going to be used only like once every week, perhaps, in moderation, like 1 piece of pizza, 1 little dessert, 1 drink. A week, or, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, you'll have like a cheat day where you get to throw down some of that stuff and get your cravings in check. But for the dad bod guy, and my voice just did something crazy. So for the dad bod guy, I have a boy voice. I'm a little teenager. For the dad bod guy, he is trying to balance it out. The beer gut look, which is, hey, I drink way too much beer and I eat like crap. I don't care about myself. And the working out guy who's obsessed with his physique and making all kinds of sacrifices, food-wise and socially. So this apparently is the look that a lot of fraternity guys get, and it's the look that a lot of girls are into right now. So they like the sculpted guy, sure, in photos and in models, but the dad bod, these guys that have a few extra pounds on them and they still keep semi in shape, apparently seem a little bit more human and natural, and it's attractive to girls. So I've got some reasons in an article that I'll post up on the website. And it says that there are a few common responses when these girls are asked about why they're crazy about the dad bod. The first one is that it doesn't intimidate them. Few things are worse than taking a picture in a bathing suit, one being taking a picture in a bathing suit with a guy who's crazy fit. They don't want a guy who makes them feel insecure about your body. They're insecure enough as it is. We don't need a perfectly sculpted guy standing next to us to make us feel worse. All right. You know, I didn't know that you were thinking about that. I'll tell you what, whenever I'm standing next to a fit girl in a bathing suit, I'm thinking like, man, people are going to think I'm so awesome because I'm hanging out with this chick who's in this good a shape. I don't think about it making my body look bad because I'm not comparing my body to a girl body. Now, of course, I'm not going to take a picture next to some fit-ass guy. Good luck with that. Kicking and screaming. I'll get out of that picture. I'll offer to take the picture. I'll be the guy holding the phone. But I'm not standing next to someone who's fitter than me. No way. No how. I'll stand next to a fat person because then I look good. So I guess I think about it a little bit, but I'm thinking guy to guy, not this guy-girl thing. So, but you know what? Guys don't understand girls. There's a classic case of me not understanding what is going through a girl's mind, and I never will. Won't pretend to. We like being the pretty one. Second reason. We love people saying they look cute together, but we still like being the center of attention. We want to look skinny, and the bigger the guy, the smaller we feel, and the better we look next to you in a picture. I don't know. See, my take on that is that sometimes I see really pretty girls who are in great shape, and they're standing next to this slob, and I'm thinking, like, what's wrong with this girl? Does she not know that she can get someone who actually has enough pride to take care of himself and to show a little initiative and get in the gym? Maybe eat some vegetables, something other than 8 slices of pizza on the weekend. That's what I think. I don't think you look like, you might look like the pretty one, but we all think you're a sucker and that this guy pulled a fast one over you and you're settling and he's winning the lottery. Better cuddling. That is reason number 3. No one wants to cuddle with a rock. Or Edward Cullen, a Twilight reference, I guess that is. I guess, not like I know. The end. Okay, so you like to cuddle with soft things. I don't know. That's a tough one for me to debate about. I can get that. I can get on board with that one. Good eats. Reason number 4. The dad bod says he doesn't meal prep every Sunday night. So if you want to go to Taco Tuesday or $4 Pitcher Wednesday, he'd be totally down. He's not scared of a cheap meal because he eats just about everything and anything. Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of flexibility when you don't actually have a diet and you just don't give a shit. So if that's a plus, then okay. Some of us, though, have plans and goals. And if you are the girl who is taking me off of that path and distracting me from my goals, then it's not going to work out. So I can imagine if I was trying to date a girl and she was trying to make me go to Taco Tuesday or $4 Pitcher Wednesday all the time, it's not going to work out. You know, you're just a huge distraction, and I will blame you when I'm still fat in the middle of August, and I totally miss it. So that's I don't know, but if girls are down with that, I actually don't think I'd want to date a girl that was going to Taco Tuesday and $4 Pitcher Wednesday, especially in the same week. I mean, God, you gotta rein it in, girl. Okay, you know what you're getting into. Girls tend to picture their future together with their guys early on. Therefore, if he already has the dad bod going on, we can get used to it before we date him, marry him, have 3 kids. We know what we're getting into when he's got the same exact body type at the age of 22 that he's going to have at 45. That's the stupidest thing I've ever read in my entire life. If he's already got a dad bod at age 22, then given the eating habits of having all that pizza and all that beer every week and slamming tacos on Tuesdays and pitchers on Wednesday, he's going to be a truck by the time he's 45. Okay? There has been nothing that has caused him to gain weight at this point. He's just doing it to himself and keeping that layer of flab. When you give him some kids and he's got, you know, he's 40 and his testosterone's tanking and you're riding his ass and sucking the life out of him as all women do, he's going to be a blimp. You're not, this is not like you buy him at 22 and that's what he looks like at 45, just like it doesn't work that way with women. I mean, you got to use your brain on that one. Yeah, there's no guarantee that he just gets to get away with cheating on his diet for the rest of his life. I'd be much more confident if you said, hey, I'm going to date this guy who's, a young guy who's in really good shape, and it's more likely that because he takes care of himself now and is in really good shape that he will be in good shape at 45. Now, if you're a little bit out of shape now, chances are you're going to be at least a little bit out of shape at 45, and chances are a lot more, because this stuff compounds. The more out of shape you get, the harder it is to get back into shape, the more your insulin sensitivity, and you got blood sugar problems, and it's easier to gain weight. You ever notice that? It's harder to lose weight, and it's easier to put it on, whereas, and I've noticed this, when I'm really lean, I can eat a pint of ice cream, I'll wake up totally ripped in the morning, veins popping out everywhere, no problem, my body just took care of it. When I'm a little bit heavier, and I eat an ice cream like that, like I'm doughy, I pull in a bunch of water, all of a sudden, you know, you just look different, and I think it just gets all stored up. It's a difference, you know, when you're really lean, I think you get away with a lot more. And if you can just stay that way, then you're probably better off in 20 years than the guy who's intentionally keeping a little bit of weight on him. All right, so here's the point of this story. New York Times, an article called "The Dad Bod Quantified." There's all these young girls who are into this dad bod thing, and by the way, they compare it to Seth Rogen, who he's a hairy beast in my view, and so he's the prototypical dad bod. Or they point to Leonardo DiCaprio, because he's kind of fat these days, and that's the, supposedly girls are into this, and obviously these guys are millionaires, so I think you can tolerate them being a little bit out of shape because they have a bunch of money. But if you're an average guy and you're looking like that, I don't think that any girls like you. But you know what? Again, I don't understand girls. Won't pretend to. So, okay. So the New York Times is looking at what exactly is a dad bod. Because we're looking initially, and these young girls are talking about like 22-year-old guys that are in fraternities that have a dad bod and that they like that. But these guys don't have any damn kids. They're just hanging out at the frat house slamming Keystone Lights every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and sometimes Tuesdays. And that's, they're a little overweight because of that, and the girls like it. They think that because when he comes a father, he's going to have that same soft, wonderful body. So the New York Times looked at guys who were between 18 and 45 who had kids, and they looked at some of them who did not have kids. And what they found was that dads are 10 pounds heavier than non-dads. So they're carrying an extra 2 inches on their waist, and their bellies stick out an extra half inch, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who looks at guys' guts, apparently. They looked at 5,000 guys and looked at that through a survey. 10 pounds of extra fat and a little bit of extra waist and stick out of your gut. So girls like that, and I just think that, so we're looking in that case at people who already have the children. Now, what happens when the non-dads, who don't have, obviously, they have no kids, okay? They already have a dad bod, okay, and the girls are buying into that, and they're saying, man, he's got that thing going that we're all into. Then he has kids, and he gets the dad bod add of 10 pounds. So now what's he got? Oh, he's obese. Now he's got 20 pounds of fat and extra 4 inches of waist and 2 inches of stomach sticking out. So there you go. They say the dad bod is barely evident among recent dads, those with toddlers, but it's more prominent among those with older children and teens. Over the years, as these men relax into fatherhood, their waistline seems to relax with them. Of the 10-pound difference they found between dads and non-dads, 3 pounds can be attributed to age, because dads are, well, they say that the dads just generally are going to have a noticeable difference than the non-dads. I'm not going to get into the double standard stuff about the mom bod. That's another interesting topic, though, right? Because nobody's talking about the mom bod approvingly and saying, man, those mom bods are real hot. You know, you have a little bit of extra weight on you right now. So I know how you're going to look in 20 years. That is not the argument a guy would use about a woman, ever, ever. But you know what? These girls, this is what they think. So fascinating stuff. I say watch out, girls, because and this from a guy, like I already told you at the beginning of this show, that I've been eating a lot of damn pie and bread. And so I'm not in dad bod land, because I wouldn't let it go that far. But I've got a few extra pounds than I need right now, so I can't really see the abs as much as usual. And, you know, I'm just, watch out, because if you buy into this little trend here, you get saddled up with some dad bod guy. Don't be surprised when you guys are spending all your time at buffets when you're 45 and you both have let yourself go, because he has dragged you down into the land of half-price pitchers and dollar tacos. The next story I want to talk about is Whole Foods Market. They are going to build an entirely new chain of stores that is aimed at customers who are not really into paying the premium price that Whole Foods demands. You probably have heard the joke that people call Whole Foods whole paycheck. So Whole Foods is going to build a lower priced chain of stores that for the people who can't otherwise afford to buy the food that they offer in their ridiculous operation they have going. Whole Foods based in Austin, and they want to concentrate on the customers who are in their 20s and 30s. So the millennials. And essentially, this whole group of people who are obsessed with Trader Joe's and the value that it offers, they say that they could build this chain, this new chain. I don't know what it's going to be called. It can be eventually as large as the 373-store Whole Foods. Very cool stuff, I guess. I mean, anytime there's a major player like this jumping in with more offering of fresh foods and good product, that's great for us. The best thing is they're going to still have some of their curated items and some of probably the Whole Foods brand. They're just not going to command the prices that they're able to command over at the actual Whole Foods locations. Basically, this is a recognition that Whole Foods has been losing market share to places like Sprouts, Trader Joe's, and even some ordinary grocery stores like Walmart or Target that offer groceries as well, where people can kind of say, you know, I'm not going to pay for this ridiculous price stuff. I'm going to buy half my stuff at these places where I shop for all my other little odds and ends, and then I'll just figure out a place to buy my meat. Maybe you just buy your meat at Whole Foods. That way, you know, you got the good stuff. In other food news, I talked to you a lot last time about Bluebell. Bluebell has agreed with the Texas Department of State Health Services to an outline of steps that Bluebell is going to complete before they're able to sell ice cream again. Voluntary agreements signed recently, and they basically require rigorous facility cleaning and sanitizing, revised testing protocols, revised production policies and procedures designed to prevent future contamination. So they're going to train their employees, and try to make sure that there's no more Listeria breakouts. So they're still looking into the root causes of where the Listeria came from to get into the factories. And they've hired microbiology experts, and they're getting those same experts to perform controls and looking at the equipment. And eventually it's possible that, you know, this could lead to something good for other ice cream companies, right? Because this is going to be an enormous expense for Bluebell. And what they learn through their scientists, hopefully they're willing to share it with other companies, so that, you know, not everybody can go through a bunch of R&D and pay some scientists to wander around their factory and look for potential causes of contamination. Hopefully we end up with a report out of this and we can find out where the danger zones are even more than we already know. I never thought this day would come. McDonald's is testing kale on its menu. A breakfast bowl with kale in it. I kid you not. They are clearly trying to reinvent themselves. So this after McDonald's made fun of kale in a TV spot for the Big Mac, saying you should be, you know, eating Big Macs instead of kale. They're testing it in a $3.99 breakfast bowl that includes it in 9 of their restaurants in Southern California. That's a good place to find out what the rest of the country's doing, right? Southern California, because everyone's like those people. Flies in Southern California might not fly in the rest of America. There's a new flash for you, especially the South and in Texas. So it has turkey sausage and egg whites and kale. So it's pretty much the worst damn breakfast bowl you could ever get from a fast food restaurant. But there you go. Interesting development there. And I want to talk to you now about salads and the calories that come along with those when you eat them at restaurants. There's an article in The Atlantic. It does a report highlighting 100 restaurant salads that are supposedly worse than a Big Mac. Speaking of McDonald's, I know. So why do these people that want to eat healthy end up eating these? And it's only the most obvious thing in the world. They think that just ordering a salad is better than anything else on the menu. They have no idea the calories that are in it. Here are the worst salads, the 5 worst salads, according to the report. Applebee's grilled shrimp and spinach salad. It looks pretty healthy. The photo's on there. And here's their description. Tender spinach, crisp bacon, roasted red peppers, red onions, toasted almonds, and hot bacon vinaigrette topped with grilled shrimp. It's 1,000 calories, 10 grams of saturated fat, 195 milligrams of cholesterol, and 2,990 milligrams of sodium. That's a lot of sodium. California Pizza Kitchen. So if you go there with a friend, think you're going to get a salad while they eat the pizza and you're going to be okay. Newsflash. Let me tell you the ingredients and then I'll tell you the calories. Roasted butternut squash in this one, dates, avocado, toasted almonds, beets, red peppers, chopped egg, and cranberries. And it's tossed with a homemade champagne vinaigrette. I guess it's house-made. It's not homemade. So that's 1,500 calories, 10 grams of fat, 295 milligrams of cholesterol, and 1,380 milligrams of sodium. That's a lot of calories. You could probably eat 2 Big Macs for that, I think. The Chili's Quesadilla Explosion Salad. I mean, this is the most obvious one that's a damn disaster. So this is grilled chicken breast with shredded cheese, diced tomatoes, house-made corn and black bean salsa, crispy tortilla chips, a drizzle of ancho chili ranch sauce, and citrus balsamic dressing served with freshly toasted 3 cheese quesadillas. So this one's got quesadillas on the damn salad, and that is 1,430 calories, 28 grams of saturated fat, 175 milligrams cholesterol, and 2,620 milligrams of sodium. So that is worse than 2 Big Macs in every single category that I listed. Now, IHOP's crispy chicken Cobb salad with avocado. This one, 1,350 calories. That's got crispy chicken, smoky bacon, hard-boiled egg, tomatoes, and blue cheese crumbles with their ranch dressing. 29 grams of fat there. You can get it with grilled chicken, and it's only 1,100 calories and 27 grams of fat. So you save yourself like nothing, 200 calories. But there you go. That is a bit of a problem, is it not? That you think that you can go to one of these places and eat with your friends at Applebee's or California Pizza Kitchen or Chili's and get the salad option, and it turns out that you'd be better off eating 2 hamburgers, Big Macs. That's ridiculous, is it not? Now, we're talking about calories and we're talking about fat here. We're not talking about nutrient density. Obviously, some of the things you're going to get in that salad are actually, you know, better for you than the food in the Big Mac, but I'm going off a calorie perspective because that seems to be the biggest problem. Well, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you for episode 4, less than a week. I need to get back on this because I'm slacking and I'm busy and I'm finally back on my schedule and getting things back in into a rhythm. So I hope you enjoyed. Check out the website, chewnewsdigest.com, for these stories, and you can look at the studies and the articles for yourself.